Everyone, it's the River of God's Anointing this day on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so glad that you are joining us either now or in the future on our website as these shows are put there. So it's a joy to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope. And with me in the studio today is Madeline Ercolano. But I like to call you Madeline Ercolano.
Either one works.
Yes, whichever works. And Madeline's been a part of our radio team for a real long time. So we just welcome each of you as you are joining us today. And we are looking forward to what God is going to get done today as we study His Word, as we talk about what He's doing in our individual lives, and as we just spend time chatting about how these passages affect our daily life. And I love this, Madeline. Don't you just enjoy this time on the radio?
I do. I love it.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a special time. It's a time to really, really have time to kind of dissect things, you know, and talk in detail and how this affects us. And it's
sure.
fun.
It's very fun, especially after having service at church today.
Yeah.
You know, we get to now kind of do some processing, which is nice.
Yes, it's exactly what we do, you know. And it's not exactly the way the sermon was by any means, but we amplify and just take it a little bigger, you know, and a little deeper. So that's really a good thing.
It's like the smell of freshly cut grass.
Oh, listen to you, Engineer Bill. The smell of freshly cut grass.
So, that's one of my favorites.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. And you just look so cute in there. We love our engineer, Bill. He's very, very good and on the ball with everything during the show. So we enjoy him being our engineer. So, Madeline, yes, God was moving mightily today at Beacon of Hope.
He was. not surprising at all. Not surprising.
No, he just keeps showing up, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. We have a good time. And he, I think he has a good time with us.
I think he does too. He gives us fun times, and the ministry is growing, and we're so excited about what God is doing in that regard, bringing us new people almost every service. And lately, it's been pretty consistent, and it's just been a blessing to meet new people and you know find out where they're coming from, and they get to know us, and all good.
It is.
Yes. So we just finished this series, Being Blessed Beyond, Madeline. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I know that God is blessing me beyond all that I could imagine. Mm-hmm. And we based it on Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And that power does work within us because not only are we saved and we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, we believe in the risen Lord, the resurrection of Jesus, but we just take it into our daily lives in a dimension, don't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the name of this show, Living the Good Life, you know, because, you know, it's all about the goodness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And how he blesses us. And, you know, in all of our talks through the years, and a lot of us have grown up differently in different kinds of churches, different denominations. You grew up
Catholic.
Roman Catholic. And that's a big difference, isn't it, in a lot of ways?
A huge difference, yeah. There's night and day between, you know, the services I attended
right.
and service at Beacon.
Right. Any particular thing that you want to say as far as the difference that might help some people out there understand or not?
Sure. You know, and not to say that the Catholic service was bad.
No, we're not saying that
at
all.
It was just very regimented, very ritualistic. It was, my experience was that it was very solemn and quiet. There wasn't a lot of, well, there wasn't any really participation other than just your responses to, you know, what was said. And at Beacon, you know, the feel of church there is just very much open and, you know, praying out, which I'd never done, and, you know, speaking in tongues and singing for, you know, a longer period of time. And just, it's just a very warm, not quiet, you know, I don't know. It's just everything completely opposite than I grew up
totally
with.
Totally, than what you grew up. Engineer Bill, do you have a comment here? He's got his hand up.
All churches of God evangelic?
No. No. Not every church is evangelic, no. And by evangelic, we're talking more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and putting that out there, you know. But no, not that not all are. And there's a lot of differences, you know, there really are. And what we are at Beacon of Hope, we are what we would call charismatic independent, in that we are not hooked up to any other denomination, and we are just a ministry unto its own. We're not hooked to a denomination like Methodist, Presbyterian, or anything like that. Even though a lot of us did grow up in those settings, that's not where we're coming from. We're independent. Charismatic means that we believe in the charisma, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they are still for today, which includes healing for our bodies. It includes just word of wisdom, word of knowledge, different things that God will show us in given situations. And we do all that because we are flowing in the Holy Spirit in the service. And that's why our services probably are a little different than a lot of people mm-hmm. are used to, because there is a freedom. There is a spontaneity. There is the songs. We get excited about those songs. Boy, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people just bursting out in praise today. Mm-hmm. During a song, after a song, I loved it. It was just great. And from your vantage point at the drums, that's got to be pretty exciting to you to hear that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you see people participating and singing and, you know, really just enjoying the music and enjoying the worship that comes out of that music. It's you know, it's great.
It's just amazing.
It feels good.
Yeah, so we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. If you're curious or if you are familiar with what we're talking about as far as worship, we're a word-based church. It's all about the Word of God, and we're going to teach the Word here in just a minute. And it's all about Jesus. This is the Christmas season. It's all about Jesus, and we have a great song that we're going to start with today. I love this one. This is a Wynonna Judd song. It's the Messiah.
Must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. Must have been something, seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. Have been something, speaking the word of your Father, with the promise of life and peace forever. There must have been something walking the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a man, soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the
I love that song. Did you like it, Madeline?
Yeah.
It's the Messiah. He's come at last. He was anticipated for so long. And in the series we just finished teaching, Being Blessed Beyond, and you can go back on our website and hear the radio shows of the last few weeks. Actually, I think that series ended up being 9 weeks. And I loved it. I loved teaching that. But we went back into the life of Jacob and Joseph and back to, you know, where it was promised that the Messiah was going to come. And he was going to come through the line of Abraham, which we know he did. And he was going to come through the line of David, which we know he did. It was all prophesied to that effect. And here we are now in the book of Luke, beginning in Luke chapter 1. And we see that the time has finally arrived for the Messiah. And I love Winona's song there. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. And that's because it was hundreds and hundreds of years, actually thousands of years, that they were waiting for the Messiah. And this series we're in right now at Christmas is called God's Time is the Best Time. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that, Madeline, and how we get hung up on our time about things. And we find a place in time where all of the right components for the birth of the Messiah come together. It's amazing to me. Jump right in there and comment on any of that that you want to. But I honestly find it thrilling that after all these thousands of years of the promise, then suddenly the time has come where God says, all right, this is it right now. You know, and I think part of that, and I want your take on this, Madeline, I think is because certain things in history needed to line up. Not only did we have to, it was prophesied, it was coming through the line of Abraham and David, so we had to get past David, you know, for the Messiah. But there was a lot of history with Israel that had to happen, and things had to happen to prepare that right season, the right time for the birth of the Messiah. I also believe, and this is really about Easter time, but, you know, it was prophesied that Jesus was going to be pierced through for our transgressions. He was going to have the spikes through his hands. So that had to happen in a time of history where that was done, mm-hmm. You know, being born in a humble stable. You know, all of these things, Bethlehem, you know, all of the shepherds, all these things were part of the kind of the Jewish tradition. They knew something was going to happen. They weren't sure when, you know, mm-hmm. Which is kind of exciting. And when we apply that to our own lives, we know God is going to move in our circumstances.
Right.
Don't we? I mean, we know. Yeah.
I mean, if we believe and we have faith, we do. And, you know, certainly we had to wait until, you know, Mary and Joseph were here.
That's exactly right.
Because they were
going
to be, you know, well, she was going to be the one who bore Christ, and he needed to have Joseph in place. And like you said, all the things that needed. And, you know, it's interesting when you were saying that, I was thinking about how, you know, how patient God is.
Oh, my.
You know.
A little bit more patient than you or me?
Just a little.
Just a tad?
Yeah, a little bit. And how he, you know, he's there, and, you know, there's a song that I hope we can have on the radio one of these days, a Casting Crown song, that talks about how, you know, he's up there looking at the map of our lives.
Yes.
And he can see the whole picture. We can't. That's why it's harder for us. He knows.
Exactly.
It's all okay. It's all unfolding the way it's supposed to.
Right.
And that's so hard for us because we don't have that map. We don't have the sight of, you know, to see, you know, the end of our lives. And if we, when we get there, when we are able, we're going to be able, and that's what the song talks about, to look back and see how all the pieces fit and see how his, you know, grand plan has everything came to
be. The grand plan, yes.
So we have to, in our, you know, in our human frailty, you know, that's what we have to, and I don't know if it's so much learn as it is just decide that, hey, if I believe that God knows that everything is unfolding for my good and for everyone's, you know, good and for the plan, then I just have to believe it. I can, you know, I know I'm going to feel a little frustrated. I know I'm going to get, Lord, I really, you know, I don't want to wait so long for this. But if we can just let that go, I know when I can do it, and I can't always do it, but when I can do it, let it go. Boy, I'm just relieved because I'm like, you know what? I don't have to worry about this anymore. I kind of want it to happen tomorrow, but I know it probably won't. So I'll just wait until God reveals it to me.
That is huge, don't you think? And that's the series. God's time is the best time. So often we get hung up on our time is the best time, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, we're living every day. We want to be able, you know, I have a calendar. I want to put things on my calendar.
Right, exactly.
I want to know what's going to happen. And I'm definitely a calendar-based person.
Right.
So, you know, when I can't do those things, that I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm kind of wondering about this. Or, you know, people who are thinking about, when am I going to get that job? When am I going to get that promotion? When am I going to get that raise? You know, all the things that we struggle with on our daily lives. And, you know, hey,
you know, that's profound, really. I mean, and yet God says, wait a minute, I'm setting up the whole thing here. There's a lot of pieces, you know. For instance, if we look at Luke 1 and we see Zechariah, okay? Zechariah was a priest at the time. And there came one time in the priest's lifetime where they, and I'm in Zechariah 1 and about verse 8. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working on the shift assigned to his regiment, that it came his one turn in life. Whoa, that's huge to me. To enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. Okay? The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. So there, these priests had one opportunity in their lifetime as a priest where they were going into the holy place, into that special place with God, burning incense, ministering to the Lord. Okay. So if that's the setting we're in, all right. So it so happens, and you know, I don't believe in coincidences, you know, I mean, it so happens. This was Zechariah's one time in his entire life, you know? And I think a lot of times, and we're going to go back to Zechariah in a minute. A lot of times, Madeline, I think we miss the things in our life that are right there ready to happen because of all kinds of things. And maybe we can talk about that, or you want to comment on that, about how we miss that. Zechariah, of course, this was his priestly duty. So he made his obligation. He was there. He was in the tabernacle, in the holy place, and the congregation was waiting outside. And God is so cool about this. And I love that he is the God of the surprise, that he is the God of now, that he's the God of perfect timing. I so love that about God. And he's funny, too. Have you noticed that about God?
I think he's got to be enjoying some of this. He's got to at least get some enjoyment out of some of our craziness.
Totally, totally, totally. And so unannounced, I love this, in verse 12 of Luke 1, an angel of God appears just to the right of the altar of incense, right where Zechariah is ministering here with the incense. And here comes an angel standing there. You talk about blow your mind. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, I have felt angels. I have sensed their presence. And I have felt that I have seen them in the spirit realm. But to actually see an angel like flesh and blood, like I'm seeing you right now. Of course, angel wouldn't be flesh and blood, but just the same. It's different. You know, it's just something that we don't experience.
Right.
And so this angel appears to Zechariah. And it says here that Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. Okay, paralyzed in fear. We talked about this morning. It bears mentioning quickly and going on, but But 2 Timothy 1:7 says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I think so often, Madeline, and we can explore this a little bit, we miss the surprise. Mm. We miss the life-turning event. We miss the life-changing event because we are paralyzed with fear. We don't know what that's going to bring. We don't know what changes I'm going to have to make in order to walk through this door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's our own, you know, in an instance like that, you know, seeing an angel of
wow.
all things.
I mean, yeah.
You would think, or I would think that would be a wonderful, embracing experience, and I want to see an angel.
Yes.
You know, the thought of that sounds good, but it's our, you know, humanity. It's our frailty. It's our fear of this good that God wouldn't be doing this for me.
Right.
God's not going to send me an angel.
That's a good point.
Who am I? So right away you have that fear, and then, you know, the devil sees you having that fear, and he's going to stir that up. And I try to think now, whenever I have that fear in situations, when I get that, you know, the bad butterflies in your stomach,
the ones that don't feel good, the nervous agitation,
now
anxiety.
I just start talking to God. Okay, Lord, I don't know what's happening. I'm not sure why I'm afraid. I just need you to take this from me and show me what are you wanting me to see here? Because I can think back on a lot of situations that I could have missed out on, but I was blessed that God gave me another opportunity.
Right.
And somewhere I did miss out. And you know what? But it was still a learning opportunity because I recognized it.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes you pass people on the street that maybe you shouldn't have passed them by.
Right.
And I think, you know, I see, you know, they're brought to my attention. You know, God gets my attention and I see somebody and I think, there's something. I don't know what it is. I'm supposed to do something. And you might be in your car and you don't know what to do.
Right.
And I get afraid in those situations because you don't know how someone's going to react to you. And I've passed them by and I've thought about it after. And I thought, I think I missed an opportunity.
Right.
But what that did for me was it brought it to my attention.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, I didn't know what to do there. Please let me know for the next time what I can do. And, you know, and you hope that that's what happens. You keep getting your eyes opened and not afraid. Because if it's God, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Exactly. But you know what it is, I think so often, Madeline, like Zechariah, seeing this angel right here, okay, was obviously God was up to something. It was going to be a life-changing event, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And so often when we sense or know in the back of our mind or down in our heart is really the better way to say it, that this event that's happening is going to be life-changing. It is, we love to stay in the same old ruts, you know? But I've been saying this a lot in the last 2 or 3 weeks. God is the great rut unstucker, okay? And he does it so often through surprises, through a fork in the road that we didn't see coming. You know, like when you're traveling a country road, and I'm thinking of Indiana because I used to, you know, that's my kids live, one of them lives out on country roads all the time. And when I'm up there, and sometimes I'm driving to pick one of the kids up out in the thing, and all of a sudden there's a fork in the road, and it's going some other direction, and nobody said you would take a right at the fork, you know, and you're going, okay, which way, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so often in life, we have those forks that they come, and we're going, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
And God loves those things. Those are the surprises he loves. Zechariah did not see this coming. One thing we know about Zechariah is that he and his wife Elizabeth were quite old, okay? Elizabeth was the first cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay? And they were up in years, and they had passed the age of being able to have a child. They could not. They could not. They were way past that. So here comes the angel, and if you're all following along with us, let's look at verse 13 of Luke 1. The angel, Zechariah is paralyzed in fear. The angel reassures him and says, don't fear, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Now, wait a minute. He's probably thinking, what prayer? I pray a lot. What prayer are you talking about? And then the angel goes on to say, you are going to be so, and in the Message Bible, it says, you're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, wait a minute, I got on the wrong line. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. He'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah. He will soften the hearts of parents to children and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. This is announcing the birth of John the Baptist, who was the first cousin of Jesus, or a cousin of Jesus. And here in this amazing dialogue that the angel has with Zechariah, during that time where God is saying through the angel, this is what I'm going to do. Your wife, Elizabeth, that can't have kids, is going to have a baby. You guys are going to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. You're going to jump around like a gazelle for joy. You're going to be so excited that you're going to have a child after all these years that you've been waiting. This is the perfect time for you right now, Zechariah. Wow. Can you imagine being in Zechariah's shoes right then? You've seen the angel and all this. Do you want to talk about that a minute?
I can't imagine that. You know, again, if you have a faith that is, you know, strong, how happy are you going to be that you just got a message from God, hand-delivered, from God, telling you of all these blessings that are going to happen, not only to you, but then down your line. I mean, that's amazing. That's, it lets us see that, you know, again, if we put our faith in God's plan, it's easier, but it's hard for us because we don't like the change. And I was thinking as you were talking about that, you know, God has, you know, anything in store for us, a fork in the road, you know, whatever it is, that, you know, the one thing that probably, if I could think of a positive that came out of 9/11,
yeah,
was that it changed our world so drastically that, you know, you really can't rely on, we were very comfortable. I mean, when you think of it just as a whole, our country was comfortable. We thought our soil was protected from war. We thought our jobs were secure. We thought the economy was in a certain place. And we've since learned that we can't rely on those things. And no kidding, they're not God. These are our earthly things. These are the things that we created.
Absolutely.
And that's probably the only, I mean, it's a smidge of a good thing that came out of it, that we're learning nothing is sure. Nothing is set in stone. We have to be prepared for whatever may come. And that's a really good thing in a way. I mean, yeah, we all like our comfortable schedules and our, you know, knowing everything is as it is. But you know what? It never was that way. We got in our rut. And we got unstuck out of that rut. It was a good run for that rut. But now we have to kind of learn to live a different way. And I think that gives us lots of opportunity to change our lives. And because we're changing our thinking.
And how exciting it is when you do make a life change, you know, and you step out in faith, you know, and say, okay, God, this seems to be where we're going, you know, and this seems to be your timing for this direction in my life. Both times that God spoke to my heart to start a church in Indiana in 1984 and in Florida here in 2001. These were huge life-changing events for me. And I got to say that it was hard for me to see how God could really use me. I felt like I had too much baggage, you know. I think a lot of us feel that we have too much baggage. That I had this and this and this and this. And in Indiana, I was just recently divorced and had three little children. And I had so much going on that I felt like, how can God use me, you know? Mm. And so often I think we allow those things that are temporary, really. My children weren't going to stay 6, 8, and 10 forever, you know. But we allow those things in our lives to try to dictate, well, I can't step out in faith. I can't do this because this is the way it's always been. It's always been like this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in both events of starting both churches, it was that God was saying, no, you just trust me. You step out. I'll take care of those details. And I can say on the other side of it 30 years later that he has done that very thing. He has always, always sustained me through all kinds of situations. But we have Zechariah here who, you know, the thought of having a child at however old he was. So it's postmenopausal. So let's say they were in their 70s. I don't know. But the thought of that, you know, Abraham and Sarah conceived at 190. I mean, 100 for Abraham and 90 for Sarah, not 190 combined.
Right.
Right. But then you have Zechariah and Elizabeth, however old they were. And the thought of God pulling this surprise on them is just amazing, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
And yet God saw down through the line and saw the time. And so the time when it was Zechariah's one and only time to be inside the tabernacle and do this priestly duty, one time in his lifetime, God shows up.
Great timing.
God's time is the best time. Absolutely. And so he describes what it's going to be like, what his son is going to be like, John the Baptist. And Zechariah's response in verse 18 is a deal breaker here. Because Zechariah says to the angel, "Do you expect me to believe this?" And he goes on to say, "I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman." How amazing right there. He's stating the facts as he knew them. And that's where we get hung up so often, Madeline. We state the facts as we perceive them, mm-hmm. as we think they are. And God sees, like you said, the bigger picture. You want to comment on all that? I think this is profound.
We have so much knowledge now. You know, we have so much more information, medical information, that I think is, you know, is a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, it's good because we want to understand how our bodies work and we want to know, you know, where we are in time in our bodies. But it does put parameters yeah. on our thinking.
Yes, it does.
And,
good know, point.
You know, a lot of times I kind of, you know, I get on myself because I have practical thinking. You know,
but practical thinking's wonderful.
It is.
To a point.
But it may hinder me from trying a couple of things or taking a couple mm-hmm. of risks because
absolutely.
My practicality says, really, you need to stay in these parameters here mm-hmm. and because this is what I've learned and this is what life, you know, is and all these things. So for someone who, you know, wants to maybe have a child and they're over 40, let's say, we know that there's A, B, C, D supposedly risk factors. But you and I and people who believe in God also know that God can do anything. And if I'm supposed to have a child, I'll be 40, 50 or 60. I mean, it's just going to. That's right. How it's going to happen if I allow that.
If you allow
that. I can stay
that.
In that thinking
right.
and say, well, you know what? I'm past 40. You know, it's too late for me. I'm not going to have a child. Or I can say, Lord, you know, I kind of still want this. So I'm going to start, you know, praying to you for the, you know,
right.
for the response for this. And if it's meant to be, then I'm not going to be afraid because I'm
that's
47
it right
and so
that's
on and so
it.
Forth.
We limit our miracles. I'm going to say this, and I believe this with all my heart. I don't know how this is going to come out right now, but here's what I feel. We limit our miracles by our own fear mm-hmm. and our own negativity. Thinking, because Zechariah right here, he says, "Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and Elizabeth's an old woman. Come on already, God. You know, what is this about? You're sending us a baby, you know?" And this was an absolutely defining moment for Zechariah right there. I think when he had to face his unbelief, he had to face his fear, and because it says earlier that he was paralyzed with fear. When he had to face that he was questioning God Almighty, the God of all creation, which we mm-hmm. all do question him. I mean, I don't know about you, but many times I've said, really? Really? Let's talk about this. Can we go over that one more time? I'm not sure I got you clearly there. So that's what's going on here with Zechariah. Verse, 19 of Luke 1. But the angel said, "I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news." See, this is good news. And I think so often, Madeline, we take change as bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I recently saw a movie. It's a little older movie. It's Larry Crown. Have you seen it?
I don't remember.
And basically, this guy loses his job probably, and he's in his 50s or whatever. But then as he goes through the doors of losing what was familiar, he loses his house. He loses, you know, a lot of things he loses, you know. We can get so hung up on the word losing. We can get so hung up. I'm losing the way that I have always lived. I am losing the house I've always lived in, let's say. I'm losing the friends I've always been around. I am losing my job, let's say, because that's happened to a lot of people in this economy. And I am losing. And we can get so hung up on what we're losing that we fail to see what we're gaining.
Right.
That's worthy of that. Yes. That was a good point. Touchdown. Yes. I mean, because we concentrate so often on what we're losing versus what we're gaining.
Right. I agree with that.
Woo. Well, comment on that?
It's, you know, and you can understand that it's, you know, it's a rough time. I mean, you know, when someone loses their income,
yes,
you know, so much can follow suit, like you said, your home, your car, your things, your, you know, and then the comfort of those things. And so you can understand it, but, you know, you can, and you can stay in that thinking. And I don't know where that's going to take you. It's
right.
not in a good place. I mean, I've had friends thus far. I've been very blessed and I've not been in that situation, but I have friends on both sides where they've lost jobs and they looked at it as an opportunity. And a better thing did come along, or they looked at it as, you know, just a loss and they got depressed and they, you know, kind of lost their faith in general. And, you know, and it may have taken a little bit longer. And the person who had a good attitude, it didn't necessarily happen overnight either. It wasn't, you know, it's not a guarantee because you keep smiling, you're going to get a job tomorrow. But, you know, it is true. I mean, the one thing I have learned about with God is that I can be unhappy, I can be sad, I can feel bad about my circumstances, but I need to keep praising him and thanking him all the time because I do believe.
Yes.
And I know, I mean, at the very core of me, I get scared about things, but I know I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because he's there. So, you know, when especially when it's all that overwhelming, when you just can't even think your way out anymore.
Exactly.
I better just turn it over to him because I'm going to lose it. You know, when you just get to that point where you're like, I can't even think of a solution here.
Exactly.
I'm stuck. And it's all unraveling.
And yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that God is looking at us going, and chuckling and going, let's see what they're going to do with this. Because that's what happened with Zechariah. What Zechariah chose to do with an appearance of an angel telling him, you and your wife, doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to have a baby. All this good news that this child is going to prepare the arrival of God, which was Jesus. And instead of going, whoa, yoo-hoo, and jumping and shouting, he's going, how can that be? We're old. His negativity, his response was so humanly, I think. It was so like a lot of us would do, just kind of like, I don't get it. I don't see it. Nah, don't get it. And as a result of that, God said, you know what? You're not going to talk till the baby's born. Because I don't want you spewing. I don't want you spewing out any more negativity than what you already have just done, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want you going home and telling your wife, you know, well, that can't be because look how old you are and look how wrinkled you are and all that kind of stuff, you know? And God would absolutely shut his mouth. Don't you find that fabulous?
It was one way to go, yeah. It was kind of funny. I mean,
funny.
It's amusing, but it probably had to be done because, you know, you can talk yourself out of your miracle.
Right.
And you can talk other things into happening to cause that miracle maybe not to happen. And, you know, God knew. He had a plan.
Yes.
So he's just going to shut you up over here and his plan's going to come to be. And
that's right.
We need to, you know, we really need to just feel how you feel, but speak in a way that is going to keep everything flowing. Speak goodness and kindness and happiness and positivity, even when you're in despair, because it
absolutely
does make you feel better too. I mean, it takes a while. I've been there. You know, we've all been there. You know, you're just at the depths of despair. How am I going to say thank you and praise your Lord when I can't even speak from the pain I'm in?
Exactly.
But you do, and it gets you through.
If you will be open to the change, God will speak and confirm, and I love this about God. I love the way he confirms things. In fact, the word says he will confirm a thing at least twice, and I have seen this in my own life. In unusual ways, he's going to confirm things, you know. And you may hear, I don't know, you may hear somebody talking, having a conversation near you at another booth, you know, in a restaurant. And something they say just goes, whoa. And you go, yeah, that was from me, you know. Mm-hmm. Or a song comes on the radio or TV. Or, you know, you watch a movie like this did for me, you know. This what happened to Larry Crown, who was Tom Hanks, by the way. It's a great movie. Got on a scooter, quit paying $70 for a tank of gas, went back to college, and made life changes. And, of course, he ends up, well, we'll tell you what he ends
okay.
up. He ends up happy. Let's put it that way. Okay? But that takes, and this was not a Christian movie. It wasn't like that. But it shows the cycle in life that that bad things do happen to us from time to time. Or as we perceive bad things, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe not bad at all, but it, or maybe bad isn't the right word. Changes happen. And so often we take change to be bad.
Well, and you say plenty of times at church that we need a trial
yes.
in order to have a miracle.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times, you know, in life, we're just kind of going along and we're not, you know, we're not learning anything. We're not mm-hmm. we're not taking anything in. We're not seeking God. We're not, you know, we're not doing what we need to be doing. And we need a little shakeup to not only put that plan into action, but also to let us have our faith build up and feel better about ourselves. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure in this movie, how happy was he that he, through all of that, whatever he went through, look what he did. Look what he accomplished, I'm assuming.
He was so happy.
Ended up happy.
Yes.
Went back to school.
Yes.
He, you know, did
all
things that...
New people were in his life, you know. Just the changes that took place were good. They were positive. But at the moment when all that's coming crashing down and you're losing your job or you're losing your relationship or whatever the case may be, it feels like there's no way out of mm-hmm. that emotional minefield, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Where you feel like at every step I'm going to be more depressed or I'm going to be more uncertain or I'm going to be more scared or whatever. And that's not the way God wants us to live at all, mm-hmm. you know? And so he shut Zachariah's mouth, and then he goes home and tells, he can't tell Elizabeth, but somehow she does have a baby, conceive right away. And it says, I love this too, that when she conceived, she went off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. And then she said, Elizabeth said, so this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition. With exclamation points. In other words, wow, God, look what you have done. And she leaves old Zachariah at home and she goes somewhere, probably to a relative's house, for 5 months and just takes time with God. How amazing is that? And during that time, that baby, John the Baptist, is growing in her womb, and she is worshiping and praising without the distractions of old negative Zachariah back there, you know, or anybody else around her. You know, other people, probably townspeople, relatives would have said, you got to be kidding. You're not pregnant. You got a tumor, you know, or whatever. Well, that was uncalled for, but you know what I'm saying? You know how people are trying to put us down and not accept our statement of faith. This was the defining moment. It was the defining moment for Elizabeth. It was the defining moment for Zachariah, because the end of their story, which we're not going to talk about today, is that when he is born, Zachariah's mouth is open and he is able to glorify God and praise God. It's amazing. I love during those 9 months, God dealt with old Zachariah. You know, you know, there was a lot of dialogue going on the inside with Zachariah and God. Woo, you want to comment on that? Because I'm going to play the song. I just love this song I'm going to play.
Well, I mean, it's a great story. And the fact that she went off to praise and worship to show the flip side of he, you know, was having his doubts and she, it didn't matter. It didn't matter why. And it didn't matter if anybody was going to be negative, because sometimes that happens. You know, you're ready to step out in faith and you're willing to take on change. But people around you,
right,
especially, don't like when you're going to do that. And it's a lot to stand, you know, by yourself and do that. And that's, I think God loves that even more, because he sees you really taking on some adversity and
yes.
by doing that. So it's neat.
So listen to this song, and then we are going to talk more on the other side of it. Defining Moment by New Song. Love it.
every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
song, my new song. Life's defining moment. When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. I believe Elizabeth realized that. And when God was so gracious to her, because I love this in the Message Bible. So here's what Elizabeth says in Luke 1 about verse 25. So this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition. She gave God the glory for coming in and changing her circumstances. You don't see her arguing. You see Zachariah arguing, but you don't see Elizabeth in any way putting up a protest. No way. I'm old. I don't want a baby now. It's a little too old here. It's like, wow, look what God did to remedy my situation.
Hmm.
Want to comment on that?
Well, it's that thinking. It's the thinking again. It's if we just, believe that God has a plan for us, then we wouldn't question anything that happens to us, good or bad.
Oh, that's good.
And you could look at any situation as good or bad. I mean, someone's going to look at her and say, 75, oh no, I wouldn't want to be pregnant for anything in the world. And somebody else would just say, what a blessing. This just goes to show you that anything is possible with God. So it all just comes back to how we're going to take something on. And if we're going to believe that God is going to give us his best, then nothing is a negative. And maybe she's old and tired and, I don't know what condition she was in, health-wise, but it didn't matter because it was a plan. And the plan was going to unfold no matter how it was going to happen. So there didn't really need to be fear if you believe God's going to work it out.
That's a really good point, because it didn't matter how old she was. And so often is that Connie's on? Okay, Connie, you want to join us? All right.
Sure.
You hearing this conversation?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what we think about it. It's what he wants for us.
Exactly. And so often, Connie, don't you feel that we limit what God wants to get done in our lives because we are just so sure that we can't measure up or we can't accomplish the change or we'll never adjust to this set of circumstances in our life. And so we just get so woe is me, so feeling sorry for ourselves. So, God, how could this happen to me type thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we only can see what we know.
Yes.
And you know, I think last week we were talking about how we try to figure out how God's going to do something or how God could really take this mess and make it into something that's part of his plan. And, you know, so we limit everything by our small minds at what we can think about could possibly be.
Absolutely. You know, Madeline, do you have a comment on that?
No, I'm good.
When I moved to Florida in 1991, and I was in the ministry full time in Indiana, and then God told me to step out and come to Florida, and I was doing mission work back and forth in Central America, and then it became necessary for me to get a job and do something to help support all this I was doing. And I'd been a teacher, you know, back before my kids were born, and so I looked into that, and I thought, okay, I'll go back and I'll teach, but it had been a long time. It had been 20 years since I, or not quite 20 years since I had taught, but I taught biology and chemistry and Spanish, and that so much had changed in the areas of biology and chemistry. And to go back to school, to USF, I checked into it to get my master's and all that. It just wasn't something I wanted to do. You know, it just wasn't. And I just kept praying about it, and God said, I've got something different, something totally different for you, something better. And I got to say, it was really strange for me to go to real estate school and to get back in that secular role, because I had been full-time in the ministry for several years, owning my own Christian bookstore, and then the church grew out of that counseling ministry. I was full-time in the ministry for a number of years. And to go back into the secular world was a huge change for me, and kind of a thing of, okay, God, you really, can I do this? Am I going to be okay at this? I don't know anybody. In fact, I went to interview with who became my boss at Century 21, and she said, well, you know, do you have a big sphere of influence? Do you have a lot of people you know? Because you're going to need to know a lot of people to sell houses. I said, I don't know anybody. I just moved here, you know? And she goes, oh, my gosh, the chances of you being a success. And I mean, she was being, you know, polite about it, but it was like, whoa, you got all that going against you, you know? Yet
but
God blessed
me.
I'm
sure every time something bad happened, you kept hearing her say, oh, you got so much going against you, you can't do this.
Well, you know, yes
like
and no.
It's like with us every day,
yeah,
every minute.
Well, she became a very close friend of mine and still is, she and her husband. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So, you know, she mentored me, and I did become the top agent in their office a few years later. And so it was like God had something for me that enabled me to financially provide for my children and things that I needed to be able to do. And he had a plan that I didn't know how any of that was going to work and how I could adjust to be in that secular world, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it funny how now that you look back on it, how everything, every piece, everything happened and fell right into place how it was supposed to fall into place.
Totally. Totally. And I mean, I love real estate. I love the ministry more, but I love the two jobs I have. And only God could do that. And I just, I praise him for the changes that circumstances worked in my life that I had to make a change. And yet God saw me through the change. That's what I'm trying to say. Madeline, mm-hmm. You want to comment on that? We'll get back to Connie.
The reality, I believe, is this. We can do anything we want.
Right.
We don't have limitations except in our mind.
There you go.
And if
you're
we
right.
Give it over to God, it may not look, if I say to myself, well, I want to be, you know, an astronaut. Okay. Well, maybe.
Really, Madeline, you want to be an astronaut? Wow, that's pretty cool.
I don't even like to fly in a regular plane. But, you know, if that's a reality, if I make that statement,
right.
And it's something that's in my heart, my heart's desire, I believe God will find a way for me to somehow have that happen in my life. Now, it may not be that I actually go on the shuttle, but maybe there's some other vocation that I can work in that would bring me close to that. That would be the same subject that, you know, I honestly believe that we just limit ourselves.
We do.
If we give it over to God, then, and he knows the plan, then he can make it happen. He can make in our day and age, I don't know if we've heard of a 75-year-old woman giving birth. I know we've heard like of a 60-ish.
Right.
You know, and it's rare and it's, you know, and it's few. And I'm sure it wasn't
and
that
Sarah
time too.
At age 90.
Right. So we know, I think we know in our minds that anything is possible, but we limit ourselves because we only see the box that we're in.
Yes.
All of our circumstances, where all of our finances, you know, I don't know the right person, whatever it all is, but he knows he
Absolutely.
Can see beyond that box and he could give us a new box.
Right.
And he could give us all kinds of information that we need to get what we want. We just have to believe that we're not limited.
You know, that's exactly right. Connie, do you have a comment on that?
Well, you know, I think if you put, yes, we wouldn't be giving birth at 75, surely, in our time. But it's all a perspective. Everything that we have is relative to what our culture is now. So I'm sure there's something that we could relate would be just as weird that we would think that couldn't happen,
right.
That God can make happen.
Right. And he so specializes in that.
He's so limitless.
Yes, he is. We're the ones that put the boundaries, right? I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought when I was sitting there in real estate school those few weeks and all the stuff I was going through, God, how can I ever adjust to this? I've been full-time in the ministry for so many years now. I can't imagine being out there selling houses, doing this kind of stuff, doing the paperwork, all of that. I can't see myself in that role, you know? Yet I did adjust, I'm here to tell you, 21 years later. I love it. I love what I do. And yet, so my point is that when we feel like Zachariah, that how can I adjust to being a daddy at this age? Or how can I adjust to these changes in my life or my physical body or my relationships or my job or my home or whatever? But God so sustains us, doesn't he, Connie? He so sees us through the changes.
Yes, absolutely. And, I just had a really good thought and it just went out of my head.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're driving too fast.
Yeah.
Flew out of your head, out the window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Actually, I'm not this time, but true.
Okay. But Madeline, do you want to comment on that about just the fact that so often the change is so scary that we can't see ourselves in that new role, let's say, or that mm-hmm. new position in life, or with a different person than we've been with before, let's say. Maybe God's led you out of a relationship, and maybe it was a not a fulfilling relationship. Maybe it was self-destructive, or not self-destructive, but it was destructive, mm-hmm. and it was not good for you, or abusive, or whatever the case may be, and you can't see. I remember when one of my children went through this many years ago, my daughter, and she had gotten involved with somebody who actually ended up putting her in the hospital with his physical violence. Yet she was so gung-ho, thought she loved him, da-da-da-da-da. She couldn't see herself not with this guy. This guy is now in prison and has a history of domestic violence. But at that time, she could not see herself in anything other than that role, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And our defining moment is when we open our eyes and we say, okay, God, you see the big picture. Let's go back to that, Madeline. God, you see what is best for me. And that's what this is all about. In that song, Defining Moment, when you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment.
And it's, you know, it's like you said, change is scary because we can't see it. We don't know what it's going to mean. We don't know what we're going to lose. We don't know if there's going to be somebody else there waiting for us, if there's going to be, you know, if it's a relationship, if there's going to be another relationship, you know. So you'd rather stay, like you said, in your comfortable rut, even though it's really not comfortable.
Right.
It's comfortable because it's what you know. But if we can, you know, if we can not be doubting of ourselves, I think that's what a lot of it is. We stay in situations because we're afraid that we can't do whatever it
like
is
Zachariah.
That will get us to another level. We can't see the better job, the better relationship, the better situation as a whole. And that's where we have to bring God in as the bridge between our, you know, between our doubt and that new thing that he has for us. We have to just say, okay, God, I can't see it. I'm scared to death. I don't want any changes in my life, but I know that I can't stay where I am. So here, you just, I'm just letting you guide me. Here, you be this bridge for me that I can't see. All I can see is the scary rocks and the crazy water below. And I'm just going to follow you. And
then
believe.
Here comes the great big rat unstucker.
And it may not be anything that we thought was possible.
Yes.
You know, when we get to our new place, we'll be like, what? It can't be this good. It can't be this much.
It's the way it always is, I think. I mean, because I noticed that in real estate, that God, I seriously, I love this. I love this job. Wow. I get to do this every day. Wow. You know, wow. Let's go to our station ID and we're going to talk to Marilyn. We're going to talk to Madeline and Connie Moore in just a moment.
You're tuned to AM 1340 WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, AM 1350 WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, AM 880 KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock. Listen.
All right. Yes, we got a new FM station now we're on, which is really cool. Isn't that cool, Bill? It's expansion.
Yes, in the Little Rock area.
Yes.
Gets out in a 15-mile radius.
Okay, cool. That's great. So welcome to any listeners that might be in that area. So that's cool.
And we have a visitor who preaches the Word of God, too.
Oh, she does. Yes.
Yes, she does.
She's got a great smile on her face. I see her in the control room. She looks beautiful.
Pastor Rose Luke Harrington.
Oh, Pastor Rose, God bless you. Yes. So we are living the good life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're excited that you've joined us today. And we're talking about, stepping out in faith, really, and doing things that God is leading us to do that may seem so hard at the time. And that is amazing. But before we go on with this discussion and teaching, we're in Luke chapter 1 today in a new series called God's Time is the Best Time. And before we go on with that, Madeline, tell everybody what happens at Beacon of Hope on Wednesday night. Can you kind of explain that and why you're at it?
Sure.
You want to talk about faithful leaders a little bit coming up in January again?
Sure. Wednesday nights is Bible study, and it starts at 6 o'clock with do an hour of prayer time out of mostly, isn't it, the Prayers That Avail Much book?
Yeah.
And people can talk about any praise reports or prayer requests they have. And then at 7 o'clock, there's...
she must have sneezed.
Yeah, yikes. That was a little frightening. You okay, Connie?
How you doing there, Con? All right.
I'm fine.
Okay.
And then at the bump of the road, I don't know if there was... was there a crack or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, it sounded like you sneezed really bad. So, yeah, that's good.
No.
Okay, go ahead, Madeline.
And then at 7 o'clock, we start, Bible study, whatever the topic is. I know we've been on the same topic now for, what did you say? It was about 9 weeks.
What we're doing on Wednesday night is Boot Camp Basics. Pastor right. Jim's been teaching. This week, we're going to talk about the end times coming up and, scripturally, what all that means in our lives. It's going to be fascinating this Wednesday night at 7.
Mm-hmm. So that we're there for about an hour and a half, and people bring dinner if they want. So we sit kind of in a circle formation so that everyone can see each other and participate. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time to be together with everybody in the church family. And then Faithful Leaders, we've done did we start in September?
We did.
This year, and we went about every other Thursday. And that's a little more of in-depth Bible study where I think we've stayed on Nehemiah.
And
the
Philippians.
Whole time.
Yeah.
And we're still not quite finished, so when we come back in January, we're going to pick up there. And I love it. I just love the in-depth study, learning the meaning of, where people come from and their names and how they relate to each other and it's really fun. I love it.
I love teaching it. It's just great. So that's Thursday night, every other Thursday night, starting in January again. at 7 o'clock. So you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, to find out everything going on at Beacon and get acquainted with the ministry. We're a global ministry. We have just celebrated our 10th anniversary, so we're in our 11th year. And we are so blessed and expanding this new year and excited about what God's going to bring to us this year. And we have a prayer ministry that is just huge, and I absolutely love it. Madeline, you want to talk about that, the prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can, I know, go to our website, and you can email your prayers, and we have someone that takes care of that and sends it out to everyone who's on the prayer team, so that any prayers that you need taken care of, and you can name the person you want prayed for, or you can just say a general prayer. You want to be on our prayer list, and you will have the prayer warriors praying on a daily basis. And it's really powerful, and we get a lot of response about answers to prayers. It's been amazing, especially lately. Just a lot of healing.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff happening.
Miracles
there.
Happening in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Some different parts of the United States and some from other parts of the world. We get the requests. You do not have to be a member of Beacon of Hope Ministries to send a prayer request in. If you have a need or know somebody who does, I think we deal with a lot of serious things, don't you? I mean, a lot of cancer, a lot of brain tumors, a lot of things that people are suffering, or jobs that are lost and needed. And it just seems like the requests are intense. Mm-hmm. Rarely is it that somebody has a hangnail, you know?
I don't think I've prayed for hangnail yet.
I don't think so either. I mean, they're serious stuff, you know? Life-changing events, you know? Mm-hmm. Somebody very ill, whatever the case may be. And we love to pray for your needs. If you have a need out there or know somebody that does, you don't have to give us the whole life history. You can just say, pray for my friend, you know, Bill, because this is going on in his life and he needs a miracle, or whatever the case may be. And we will do that and send it to prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries. That ends in IES. It's plural. Beacon of Hope Ministries, because there's a lot of ministries involved in Beacon of Hope. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. So we thank God for all of that. And it is a joy to be able to pray. And on Sunday mornings, our service, worship service at 10 o'clock, is just amazing. Amazing is a tame word for what it is on Sunday. And we thank God for that. Connie, you put this song on here today, Casting Crowns. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Let's hear it.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth. Oh,
chime, a chant sublime. With peace on earth, goodwill to men, and the bells they're ringing like a choir that's singing, and with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells they're ringing like the angels singing? Open up your heart and hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Praise God. Great song. I love that. I think that's pretty new from Casting Crowns. Oh, let's go back to Luke 1. We're in now. We're going into the story of Mary in verse 26 and how in the sixth month of Elizabeth, her cousin's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel now visits Mary in a little town called Nazareth. And Mary was a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from the line of David. Mary also was in the line of David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her, "Good morning." This is the Message Bible. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. In the New American Standard, it says right there, "Hail, favored one. How, oh, the Lord is with you." And that's what it's all about. Guys, God wants us to realize how very much he loves us, how very much we can walk in his favor, his blessing. It's just amazing. Let's go back to the book of Galatians chapter 4 a moment. And then, Connie, I'll bring you back in here in just a minute. Galatians chapter 4, looking at verse 4. 4 through 7. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. I'm going to read it out of my NIV. That's where I'm at. My little green Bible, my little green NIV. Galatians 4, because this was God's plan all along. So reading verse 4. "But when the time had fully come." Now that's huge, because we're talking today about God's time is the best time. "And when the time had finally and fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman." This is Paul talking in Galatians 4:4. "God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." So because this event happened in history where God decided to fulfill his prophetic word, and I told you a little while ago we would go back to those passages. Let's run real quickly to Isaiah 7:14. This was prophesied through Isaiah about 700, actually, years before it happened. And in through the pen of Isaiah, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, here's what God says. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." That is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. That was prophesied that there would be a virgin that will give birth to the Son of God, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We go over a couple chapters later, and we go to chapter 9 of Isaiah, and we look at verse 6. Again, prophecy through the pen of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came to this earth. "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor," and so he is. "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. He had to come through the line of David, and we know he did. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In other words, God will make it happen. It was prophesied 700 years before it happened. And now we are in Luke 1:26, and we see that the angel Gabriel has been very busy. He's been visiting. He visited Zechariah, and now he visits the Virgin Mary in Luke 1, verse 26, and tells her that she is favored of God. And it says here in verse 29 that she was thoroughly shaken. But it does not say that she was paralyzed with fear, Madeline, as was Zechariah. Zechariah was paralyzed with fear and said, "How can that be? You know, what are you talking about? Remember what Zechariah said? He said, let me get it. Do you expect me to believe this? I mean, that's really huge that he said that. I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman. I mean, there is Zechariah right there limiting God, right? Do you expect me to believe that you could do this? Give me a son at this age? Mary says she was thoroughly shaken, but the angel assures her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you, like he did for Zechariah. God's into surprises right now. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And then the angel quotes those verses I just read in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. On and on and on. The angel quotes the word right there. I love this. I love this. There is such a difference between Mary and Zechariah's response. Connie, do you have a comment on that?
Well, you know, we always have things that happen in our life, and it's like, now, God?
Right.
You know, really? Are you really? You really want to do this? And, you know, it's our choice to decide to go along with what he wants to do or try to do something differently, but usually whatever it is that we think we got to do is not going to work out because he knows the plan, and it's better to just say, okay, let's do this.
Absolutely.
And go along with his plan.
And, you know, I love this about God, that he's got the perfect timing. You know, God's time is the best time. And this was the perfect timing down through the ages to send his son and to fulfill Scripture. And I think this is huge. The fulfilling of Scripture, Madeline, is amazing to me, how God always remembered every detail of what he had prophesied 700 years before this was going to happen. And now he goes, okay, now's the time. Now's the time, you know?
He's better than I am. My memory is not good from day to day. I write everything down on my calendar.
But, you know, isn't it amazing how God does remember everything that he says? He says in Isaiah 55:11, no word of mine, meaning God's, shall return unto him void without accomplishing what it's sent for. Mm-hmm. In other words, God says it, and then he fulfills it. I love what somebody said years ago. God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Connie, do you have a comment on that?
No, not really.
I didn't think you were. I could just sense you were. Okay. All right. So Mary, he says, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. God is into the surprises. He really, really is. And when we think that we've got God all figured out. You mentioned earlier, Madeline, about the little box. Sometimes we put God in the box and we think, okay, here's how the rest of my life is going to be, you know? I honestly, when I got into real estate and it was had those good years, I thought, well, I'm never going to have times now where I'm not sure where the next dollar's coming from because I'm in real estate and things were doing good. And then the crash of 2006 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 happened. And that was my life took on a whole nother dimension of back to believing God, you know, so consistently and thoroughly and daily and weekly for the finances, you know. And so often we have surprises. You say, well, that's not a good surprise. Well, it really is. Because if we kind of alluded to this earlier, Madeline, if we are never challenged, if we never have a problem, we cannot grow our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So problems are there. You want to comment on that before I get back to Connie?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we know that when, you know, I know there's times in my life where I'm just kind of going along and everything's basically okay.
Right.
And I'm comfortable with that because there's no ups and downs. There's no, you know, there's no real trials or tribulations happening. And I have to say that is comfortable. But at the same time, I'm probably not doing the right things, like talking to God as much, and I'm not as close to God because, you know, when you're having doubts about your life and you're afraid about things, you tend to draw closer to God. I mean, that's kind of how our humanness works. And
right.
I think that, you know, it's great to have those times, and I'm grateful when there's, you know, there's a lull in between some big
when
waves.
When things are just going through,
but
okay.
You're
okay,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have that in order to grow. There's nothing that we would, there's no contrast if everything was just, you know,
exactly.
all along an even line. It just doesn't work. And one quick thing, what you were saying about Mary, when you said she was shaken. You know, I think any fear that she might have had was really just her own fear that she wouldn't be able to step up to this, you know, task of being, oh my God, the mother of God,
right.
son, you
right.
know. So I think any fear she may have had was just her own, not
right.
because, it, you know, God was putting this on her or
right.
that, you know, God believes I can carry his son.
Wow. I mean, in contrast, Mary was Zachariah, and how Zachariah mm-hmm. was paralyzed with fear and doubt and unbelief and no, there's no way, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of us react to change in our lives. There's mm-hmm. no way. I can't be that, or I can't do that, or I can't accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, you have a comment on that?
Well, I think a lot of times we think that because there's a new thing happening in our lives that we have no we have to just stop what we're doing and go to the next thing. And you know, if we really stop and think about it, it's for such a time as this that mm-hmm. we've been prepared and given the tools. I mean, life happens and everything happens for a reason to get you where you are right now.
Absolutely.
And to be able to deal with what's going on right now.
Absolutely.
So if you know, if something comes along that's going to be a different route or a different, you know, just like you in the ministry and then going into real estate because you needed to make money or support yourself. It's not like you just went into real estate without taking Jesus with you.
Right.
And without,
right.
I mean, I've heard stories that you've told about the different people that you've impacted in your secular life. By your other job, by your other calling, and you know, it's not like there's a line that has to be drawn in between.
Exactly.
Where one ends, another starts, and that's, you know, there's a definite line there. It's more kind of like a little hash marks.
Right. Exactly. And God can use us in those secular jobs, and so often he does in profound ways, and he has with me through the years. The very first listing I took as a realtor was in Pinellas Park, and I remember this day. I'll never forget it. The people's name were John and Betty, and I won't say the rest of their name, but they ended up listing their house with me. And when I got there, John was dying of cancer. And that's why they were having to sell their home. And as they talked, they started talking about the Lord. And, I, you know, I'm always careful in my secular job, but that was my very first listing. And I thought, God, this is interesting. And as that 2 hours progressed, it ended with me with my knees on their living room floor. John could not get out of his chair. He was very, very ill. And the three of us, John and Betty and I, we ended that listing appointment with hands held together and believing God for him to get better and believing God for this house to sell and the things that happened, which did happen. And it was just totally amazing to me that this was my first listing appointment. And I went back to my boss and I said, you may not like what I got to tell you, but you got to hear this. And she was cool with it. But it was just amazing that God will, even though we have changes in our lives, he's going to bless us in that change when we step out in faith. Ooh, do you have a comment to that, Madeline?
Mm. Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, that's a great, what a great way for you to start your real estate career in some way, because I thought to myself when you were saying that you saw how God was going to mix your ministry with your
job. Which he has for years.
Enable you to have a financial, you know, means of support, plus still do what you love and all of that. So that, I mean, right there, there you go. So when you want to look back on your life at certain times and see God's plan, there it is, you know. It's easier to look back than it is forward. But,
yes.
But it's right there. So, that, I mean, we just have to listen. We just have to listen.
And the same with Mary here. So, she is taking on this new role as the incubator, so to speak, of the seed of the Holy Spirit. And combining with her humanness, her nature, there with this child. Amazing, amazing. Connie, do you have a comment on all that?
Well, I mean, again, what we were just talking about is it was her heart. It was her how she felt in her heart that God saw in her that prepared her for to take on this whole role.
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, I think he's kind of wandering around looking to see what people's hearts are and what
totally.
Truly is. You know, if he puts pressure on them and squeezes them, what comes out?
Absolutely. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite verses, and it says that the eyes of the Lord roam around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His. With that said, be still, my soul, and What a Friend, medley by Selah.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to
Praise God. Connie, I have never heard that medley. That's beautiful. Golly. Gorgeous.
And so good.
And, you know, that is what it's all about. Be still my soul. And your soul level is that your mind, your emotions, they run away with you like Zachariah. Your fear that takes over, your concern, your apprehension, your anxiety, your nervousness, these things can just take over. And I love that song because it says, be still my soul. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And that's what it's about. Be still, my soul. Shut up. Be quiet. Quit ruling me. Don't be telling me all that negativity, soul level, which is our mind and our emotions. Instead, I choose to rely on the friend, Jesus. Connie, you want to comment on that? Wow, that's beautiful.
Well, you know, that song was written, I don't remember the name of the person that wrote that particular song, but the Be Still My Soul, but his wife had died in a, seems like it was a boating accident or something, or had drowned at sea or something, and, you know, it's the whole thing about faith and knowing that Jesus says he will be with us always. And even though things look so bad and things hurt so bad and we can't see anything but our hurt and our pain, he is always there. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. And even though mourning lasts for a night, you know, there's a new morning every
shout
morning.
Of joy comes in the morning.
And,
yes.
Joy comes in the morning.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And so, you know, I think it's about faith and our level of faith and trust in God and knowing that what he says he'll do, he does.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. And as long as we don't waver in our faith and we don't waver in knowing what he can really do for us or even allowing him to do it.
Well, that's so true. And when you look at that in relation to Mary, she chose to believe that this surprise that God was giving her was all that it was supposed to be. And the angel even says, you're going to call his name Jesus, you know, and gives her the name of the Messiah. And, you know, the Hebrew people knew. They knew that the names meant something and reflected the character of that person. And the name Jesus in Greek was Yeshua, and it meant God is our salvation, God is our deliverance, God is our safety, God is our helper, God is our prosperer. She had a huge clue when the angel said, we're going to call him Jesus, because that meant Jehovah is my salvation. And there she was, stepping out in faith. Like we've been talking about, Connie, and even though she says, how shall this be in verse 34, she does not say, like Zechariah, there's no way this can be. She says, how shall this be in the original Greek? That's huge. Madeline, you want to comment on that? The difference here between Mary and Zechariah and how this has impacted our lives today?
Well, even though it, you know, it sounds like she's asking a question, it's still, she's just more incredulous, I think.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she's just saying, my God, okay, but how is this going to happen? Show me, you know,
yeah.
She wants to know like the kind of the details. And it's a huge, I mean, my goodness, she was going to be married. She knew how this could look to
right.
Joseph and her family. But her faith in God was bigger than all
yes.
that. So she didn't even have to worry about, oh my God, how am I going to tell this one and that one? She knew this was of God. So
wow.
It was going to be okay.
Isn't that huge?
And that carries forward to today. I mean, in so many ways, the least of which just, if you can look at that event and not have even a, you know, a quarter of faith, I don't know what to say. It's, you know, it's a faith builder. It's something that, you know, we can look at and get, you know, get peace from. Because
yes.
when we're afraid of our circumstances and we don't know how something's going to happen, look how that happens. Something that we've never seen recreated again in our time that
no,
we know of.
A virgin
and,
conceiving
right.
by the Holy Spirit. No,
right.
One time event. God's time, the best time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love verse 36 because the angel goes ahead and and tells her about Elizabeth, her cousin, and that her cousin has conceived a son. Old as she is, everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. And I love this because he, again, the angel quotes the word here, and he says, nothing you see is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And this is where we get so hung up. If you are experiencing, dear friend, a life change right now, you've lost your job or you're entering a new relationship or something is not the same as it used to be. Maybe you lost a parent, a loved one. You know, somebody in your life is no longer there. You know, 4 years ago, I lost my dad. You lost your mother, Madeline. Mm-hmm. And we have gone through the death of parents, and we have seen how that impacts us. And yet, it's not impossible that God is going to sustain you with comfort, with peace, and get you through those difficult situations. And so the angel quotes to Mary, nothing's impossible with God. So, dear friend, whatever you're facing out there today, nothing is impossible with God. No matter what changes you are experiencing or you are anticipating having to experience, God will see you through. Connie, do you have a comment on any of that?
Well, I think that, you know, people read stories in the Inquirer and they believe those, and they may not take the, you know, when we say that the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Well, it's written, it's there, right,
yes,
black and white, but yet, and people believe that the Bible is the truth and that it is from God, but yet they don't believe that, and they'd rather read the Inquirer and get all the news that way.
Right.
So I would encourage people to just, you know, take a chance on God and
amen.
He's not going to disappoint you.
So true. Jeremiah 32:26. So this was hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, and this situation developed that seemed so unlikely. God said through Jeremiah, is there anything I can't do? Is there anything too hard for me? Is what God said through Jeremiah. Now, Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew 19:26, and Jesus says that that all things are possible to him who believes. So, Madeline, the key here is we can just stay in our circumstances. We can stay in our rut. We can stay in our old way of thinking or our old way of living or the old way of behaving. We can stay in those old ruts, or we can say, okay, God, I choose to believe that you've got something more for me. You've got a new season in my life, or you've got a new experience for me, like real estate was for me in 1991. It was like huge change in my life. And yet God is saying, said to me then, just trust me in this. It's going to be okay. Mm. It's all going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And when we refuse to step out in faith is when we miss our blessing. Don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that everything that happens in our lives can be looked at as a new opportunity. And even death, you know, and when you mentioned my mom, it made me think that one thing that I had thought about was that after she died, you know, it was sad and I had to go through the grieving process. But I, in my heart, believed that her time here was done and that God was now bringing her home to start her new life, and he was leaving me here to start my new life without her, and that was necessary. That all of these things are just necessary. And the thing that I think I know I get stuck in is, so my mom dies and now I'm left with grief,
right?
And that's the stuff that I think scares us or hinders us, because, you know, we know somewhere in our minds, we know we're going to be okay, that somehow we're going to get through this, even though we can't see our way through it right now because it's crying and it's ugly and it feels bad and all that. But if we can just remember that, okay, we have to get through this, and on the other side, there's a whole new life for me.
Yes.
Even though that seems impossible when we're in our ugly circumstances, but every single thing that happens is a new opportunity for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And, you know, it doesn't have to feel good in the moment, you
in
know, because
moment.
Something not so feel good may have happened to create that new opportunity, but that's what it is.
And it is. And Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, it's just an, it's just a part of life. There's life and there's death, and time
said like a true medical professional, right?
Life, there's death.
It doesn't make it any easier,
right? I know, I'm teasing.
You know, but you know, it's. I mean, it's. You know, even Walt Disney, the Circle of Life.
Mm-hmm.
He had it. He just put it straight out there. You know, it's the Circle of Life, and we're born and we live our lives and we do the best we can while we're here, and then it's time for us to go. It's time to make room for other people, or, you know, it's time for to do the next thing that God has us to do.
Yeah.
And life cycles while you're on the earth. There's things that happen in your life.
Yes.
So, you know, you just, and if you hold back or, you know, don't want to deal with change or you resist it, then you're missing out.
Absolutely. Like Zachariah. Now, what is interesting, Madeline, you said early in the show that God does so often give us a second chance and a third chance and a fifth chance and a 108th mm-hmm. chance. And I have experienced that. He's God of the fresh start. That's Psalm 34. He's God of the fresh start. Praise God for that, that he understands that we struggle with this, that we struggle with unbelief and mm-hmm. doubt. And yet that's one of the reasons we gather together in an assembly, a ministry, in church, in the Word, and we study so that our faith is increased, mm-hmm. you know? I thank God for all the people that come and line our altars every Sunday morning and the difficult circumstances that they bring to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for those opportunities because that's what they are. And, you know, when we have those situations that seem so difficult and how am I going to get through this or how am I going to make the changes needed in my life and how am I going to get used to this new phase or this new season or this new job or this new whatever, you know, God is right there going, I'm right there with you, baby. I am right there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Just hang on because I'm right there with you. I love this Hillsong song, The Only Name.
By which all is God.
Jesus, my Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, the great almighty God. In Luke 1, verse 36, the angel says to Mary, and did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Doesn't matter what people call you. God's got another name for you. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. And Mary said, and this is the pivotal statement of Mary in Luke 1:38. In the New American Standard, it says this, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. In the Message Bible, yes, Mary says, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Connie, you got to comment on that before I get back to Madeline.
Well, you know, my favorite verse is, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
They shall rise up with wings like eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And, you know, part of that, when you say that you wait on the Lord, part of that also is, you know, there people who are servers at restaurants or food places are called waiters.
That's true. Good point.
And so a lot of times as you serve the Lord, as you wait on the Lord, you renew your strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that this is where Mary was. She was waiting on God for the next step, you know, and how the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and impregnate her and all of that. And she was just waiting on God for this amazing thing. So she says, I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just like you said, just as you say. Woo! Shouldn't that be our cry? Shouldn't that be our prayer, Madeline? Mm-hmm. Let it be to me, God, just the way you want it to be. God's time is the best time. You want to comment on that?
It's, you know, it's the her. Those statements are just such a great showing of just blind faith. I mean, the faith that you need to have. And, you know, God gives us tools to get through, you know, to every day when everything, when something seems overwhelming. If I think about, well, how am I going to get, you know, stop my house from foreclosing? How am I going to not lose my job? If I start thinking about all these things and how big they are, I can't cope with that.
Right.
But I can cope with, you know, okay, I'm going to think about, I'm going to live today, only today, and I'm going to get with God, and he's going to, you know, I'm going to look in my Bible and find all the promises that he has for me, because then that just, you know, shows me, oh, okay, I don't have to worry, because God promises all of these things. All I have to do is seek him, and I will get an answer from him every single time. And he gives us people. He gives us our family and our friends. He gives us our church family. He gives us the Bible. He gives us our, you know, just all of these means to cope.
Yes,
you know,
does.
If we look in the right direction,
yes,
then we can get through all this, and we can wait, because
yes,
because the waiting will be much more tolerable if we just look to him and spend our time in the day,
right,
and not when all
oh,
the
that's
overwhelming
good advice.
Future.
Woo, that's great advice. Connie, you want to comment on that?
I think she did a good job.
Yeah, she did. I know you're getting ready to walk in the hospital for work tonight.
Yeah.
And we so appreciate the you know, you're the musical director of the show, and we thank God for that. And you're our head of counseling at Beacon, and what a joy and a blessing that you are, Connie. And I know it's because you trust the Lord every day for all that concerns you, and that's what we're talking about here. And Madeline, that's your point here with Mary. I believe that you don't see that she's jumping ahead, you know, or trying to put limitations on God, or even asking, how's that going to happen? She just says, how shall it be? Like, she knows it's going to be, but how is that going to come about, you know? Mm-hmm. And not getting all hung up on it at all. We see, as she goes on and talks in this chapter, we see her really revealing her heart, and Mary's heart was incredibly open to the Lord God moving in her life. Woo, Connie, do you have any final thoughts on any of this?
Just that, you know, not don't put limits on God, and that, you know, nothing is impossible. He sees things that we could never, ever possibly see, and ways to make things happen. The resources that he has are beyond our comprehension. So, you know, just let him take care of it. And you know, he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to do something to, you know, embarrass you. Or, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, when I was first growing up and in the church and stuff, it was not a popular thing then to be a Christian. And, you know, people would shy away from talking about Jesus. And, you know, we were sitting in Sunday school and they were, you need a witness, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And it's just so hard. And when you get to know him and know his nature and know how much he loves you, he's not going to put you in a situation to make you fail.
Right. He's going to be right there with you through whatever it is you're going through, or whoever it is you're talking to.
The words to say, and all of
right.
Reply.
Amen. Well, you have a good night at the hospital, and we speak God's blessing to you, Connie, and thank you so much for all that you do. And sure. We'll talk to you later.
Good
we'll
night.
Talk to you tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Madeline, you know, when you look at Mary here and just her heart, I mean, this is what God looked down through the ages, and he said, you know, I got to have a certain person to carry my son to birth and to raise him. And look at the heart of this woman. Amazing. Just a young teenager when all this happened to her, probably 13 to 15, someplace like that, and still had a heart after God at that young age, tender age, ready to receive God's miracle into her body and into her life. And it would change her life. Like you said a moment ago, she was engaged to be married. And the fact that she became pregnant before they were married was a sin worthy of all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of punishment and really bad retaliation. And you see that. And yet she is saying, okay, be it done to me according to your word. You know, I choose to believe, God, that you're speaking to my heart. Some of you out there in Radio Land need to really have that as your prayer right now. God, be it done to me according to your perfect will for my life and according to what your word says about me. Let that happen in my life. You know, not what I want, but thy will be done. Somebody had, Aaron had a shirt on today, thy will be done. And it just really is what it's about. Madeline, you want to take that?
Well, you know, looking back, I mean, it doesn't seem surprising to us, I think, that God picked Mary, because obviously he picked someone that was going to be able to handle this, you know, task and was going to be able to receive Jesus into her body.
Yes.
And what's funny to me is when I thought about that, I thought, we believe that. We believe that God took care of all that, and we believe that, you know, he chose her and everything was the perfect timing. So if we can believe that for her, she lived just like we're living now. Why wouldn't we believe it for us? Why wouldn't we believe that he can do anything we want?
Yes.
Anything that we need in according to his plan.
And even if it's a change in our lives.
Right.
Nothing is impossible with God. He's going to see us through.
That was a huge change for her.
Huge change.
She didn't expect that. She expected to get married and have kids probably, I'm assuming.
I'm sure, yes. She was engaged.
Following that, the plan that, you know, life dictates. So, you know, I just said, that just opened up a huge thing for me. Why would I believe it for her? Not that thing, but anything.
Exactly.
A miracle. For her. Why wouldn't I believe it for me? Why shouldn't you believe it for you and everybody else that we, you know, we're just like Mary.
Yes.
We're, you know, just a human being just like she is. And God made us and we're his kids and he wants the best for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yay.
Let's pray right now for our radio audience. Dear Lord, we just thank you for all these that listen today or listen in the future to this show. And Lord, let them understand the concept here of believing is the key to all of the joy and all of the promises that you have for each of us. And Lord, the key is just to reach out and say, be it done to me, God, according to your word, what you have planned for my life. Lord, I come into agreement with your plan for my life. I come out of agreement with the doubts, the uncertainty, the worry, the fear, the nervousness, the anxiety. I leave all that behind and I go forward knowing that God, your plan is the best plan. Your timing is the best timing. And Lord, I'm going to quit trying to second guess you on the different issues that arise in my life. I'm going to try to quit trying to figure you out, God, because you are the God of the surprise. You are the God that meets every need, and you are the the one that sees ahead. Jehovah Jireh, you see ahead and make provision for our every need. You are the one, God, that reaches down into our lives and says, here, let me fix that for you. Let me help you with that. I'm good at that. That's what you say, Holy Spirit. You say, hey, I'm so good at fixing that situation. Let me help you. And I love that about you, God, that you are that concerned about each of us. It blows my mind, Heavenly Father, that you can know everything there is to know about Madeline and Connie and Engineer Bill and all these other people, that you know what's best for each of us, and that you see that plan, and you, with our willing participation, you unravel that plan in your perfect timing. So God, whoever is listening to this show, let them be encouraged that their part is believing, that their part is receiving what God has for them. And Lord, let each of us from this day forward become willing to fall into agreement and in line with your perfect plan for our lives. And so, Lord, we don't want to be like Zechariah, doubting and fearful and not sure and giving you excuses. We want to be just like Mary, who said, be it done to me according to your word. That is our desire and that is our goal. So, Lord, we pray right now that faith would rise in those that have listened to this show and that will listen to it, that faith will rise and they will be able to say with certainty, be it done to me according to your word. And so, Lord, we thank you that your promises are yea and amen, and that you love us and we are surrounded with favor as with a shield. Lord, your word says in Isaiah that if we are willing and obedient, you will cause us to have and to eat the best of the land. So we claim that for each of our lives today. And Lord, all of these that are listening, may their faith increase, may belief rise within them, and may they receive all the blessings you have for each of them from this moment on, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Woo. Wow. Good show. Thank you, Madeline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Wow. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services at Beacon of Hope. We are at 3700 Almerton Road, and easy to find, and growing, outgrowing. It's all good. And Sunday morning at 10 for a powerful worship service. Great music, praise band. Wow, it's just terrific. And, of course, this show live every Sunday at 4 o'clock on this Tampa Bay station, and now scattered in different places. And, of course, globally on Tantalk1340.com. If you listened on the radio today, you can get us anytime, www.tantalk1340.com, every Sunday at 4 o'clock. I think that's interesting. 4 is the number for worldwide evangelism. And that is what we are all about at Beacon of Hope, where the word